ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಇಷ್ಟ ವ್ಯಾನ್ ಗ್ರೈಸ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಸಮಾವೇತ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶಿಶು ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 8 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 6 ವರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಬೋರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ 35 ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಕೇಮ್ ಪ್ರಿಪೇರ್ ಫಾರ್ 38 35 has a small purport, 36 has no purport, 37 also has no purport, 38 has purport. So maybe that's the reason. So we will read all the three verses or four verses. We'll start with text number 35. Nipatan sa giris tatra bahun amaradanavan churnayam आस महता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतांस गिरिस्तत्र बहुन अमरदानवान चूर्णयाम आसमहता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतांस गिरिस्तत्र बहुन अमरदानवान चूर्णयाम आसमहता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतांस गिरिस्तत्र बहुन अमरदानवान चूर्णयाम असमहता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतांस गिरिस्तत्र बहुन अमरदानवान चूर्णयाम असमहता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतांस गिरिस्तत्र बहुन अमरदानवान चूर्णयाम असमहता भारेना कनकाचलहा निपतान फॉलिंग डाउन सा दैट गिरी माउंटेन तत्र देर बहुन मिनी अमरदानवान डेमिगॉड्स एंड डीमंस चूर्णयाम आसा वर स्मैश्ड महता बाय ग्रेट भारेना वेट कनक आचलहा द गोल्डन माउंटेन नोन एज मंदरा ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिस्टोरियन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons. Purport. By constitution, gold is heavier than stone. Since Mandara mountain was made of gold and was therefore heavier than stone, the demigods and demons could not properly carry it to the ocean of milk. Text number 36. Tams tatha bhagna manaso bhagna bahuru kandharan vijnaya bhagavams tatra babhuva garuda dvajaha. Translation. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened and their arms, thighs and shoulders were broken. Not because of playing cricket. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda. Text 37. Giripata Vinispristan Vilokyamara Dhanavan Ikshaya Jivayam Asha Niljaran Nirvrnan Yatha. observing the most of the demons and the demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. Something we really want. Text 38. Girim charopya garude haste naikena lilaya aruhya prayayo abdhim sura sura ganair vrataha. Translation: the Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got back. He too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. Purport: here is the proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. There are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above them both. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here, for simply with one hand he lifted Mandara Mountain, the demigods and the demons placed them on the back of Garuda and brought them to the ocean of milk. Now the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it might be. But although demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say that it is mythological. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain? Since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of Mandara mountains, why can't he lift one of them with his hand? This is not mythology, but the difference between the believers and the faithless is that the devotees accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures to be true, whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the demigods and the demons. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangham Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, as we are continuing to read through this chapter where the demigods and demons are trying to turn the ocean of milk. Why they want to churn the ocean of milk? Because they want to get the nectar. So that's the end game. So for the nectar, they're fighting hard. And it's a big, huge ocean. They're trying to churn it with a huge mountain. We have a small pot and some yogurt or some curd that we mix a churn. It's sufficient for that, but to churn the whole ocean of milk, you need something much bigger. Not the food processors we have or the blenders that we have to churn. You need something huge. So they wanted to carry this Mantra mountain, and unfortunately it's too heavy. It's so heavy that it fell on some of the demons and even demigods. And it broke their backs. It broke their eyes. It didn't size, but they got pretty well bruised. And they couldn't get up, and some of them are injured, retired hurt, some of them are dead, unfortunately. It's too heavy, mountain, we cannot conceive falling or underneath some big mountain. So the Lord, being as ever graceful as and merciful as He is, He appeared, and then He brought them back to life, some of whoever has lost their lives, because everybody is so distraught. So He brought them back to their life, and then He said, "This is not going to work. Let me carry it." So He carried with one hand, simply with one hand, the whole mountain He took. With one hand, He placed it on the back of His carrier, Garuda. And this whole incident is full of Herculean tasks or miracles, as they say, like unbelievable, as they say, mind-blowing. Because how can a big mountain be carried by a Garuda? Or a bird, unless Krishna or God Himself empowers. Here He is, on one hand, lifting the whole mountain with one hand, and then placing it on the back of a Garuda, of a bird, His carrier. Inconceivable. But God can not only do inconceivable tasks, if He chooses, He can empower anybody to perform those inconceivable tasks. Just like in Ramayana, we read the whole mountain, whole bridge from Lanka to, from South India, from Rameshwaram, to all the way to Lanka, is built by the stones. And who are the construction crew? Monkeys. They didn't have somebody take the plan and, here is the abutment, here is the pier, how much load this can take, and this is how deep we need to go. The soil is very bad here, so you need some deep foundation. Nothing like that. No design, at least from the materialistic standpoint. There's no civil engineering drawings or anything. Everything was done impromptu, right then and there. Lord Ram has empowered. And we hear, like, when one of the, like, rabbits or sparrows, different versions, but that small animal or living entity, she is also trying to take some grains of sand, and then Hanuman is like, why are you even bothering? It's not going to help. It's too little. We're trying to build a bridge back all the way to Lanka, and these tiny grains, you're trying very hard. And then Ram said, no, that's valuable. It's as good as what you are doing. It's inconceivable. What a small sparrow can do is equal to what Hanuman can do. Hanuman can do like Herculean tasks. He jumped in one leap to Lanka. And then in comparison with that, to a sparrow's abilities, is how is it possible? That is not equals to this by materialistic calculations. But it is possible. If in the eyes of Krishna, what it matters is devotion in the heart. With the devotion in the heart, the living entity, whoever they may be, are trying their best to please him. That's all it matters to Krishna. It doesn't matter that one, everybody has to do, like, as in the case of materialistic education. The case of materialistic education is like we want to put everything in one standardized test. How is it possible to standardize everybody's abilities or knowledge or intellect? It's not possible, but that's what they want to do, standardized test. By the virtue of these standardized tests, they want to say that you are qualified and you are not qualified. It's not appropriate. It's like measuring the ability of those who can fly, the birds, and then the fish. The fish is good in water, the birds are good in air. You cannot really combine both of them and say that, okay, race from here to there. It's not proper. It's not even. So, back to this verse, the Lord took the mountain, placed it, and then all of them proceeded to the ocean of milk. So, Prabhupada explains in this that the Lord's omnipotence is proved. That these demigods and demons, they're very powerful. Saturdays we get the boga, and it's heavy to carry. It's very challenging, especially up and down these stairs. It's heavy, those cards, milk, and other stuff, vegetables. And bringing a whole mountain, and these are Kali Yuga bodies. We don't have that much strength. Our ancestors had better strength. Their ancestors had even better strength. What to speak of demigods and demons? Very powerful entities, but still lifting this mountain. And Prabhupada is mentioning here very clear, one very specific thing, is that this mountain is made of gold. And gold, by density, it's heavier than just a lump of earth or rock, whatever is the ordinary mountain is made up of. So whatever per cubic feet, if you will, like you can put the weight of the gold is much heavier if you were to place a per cubic feet the weight of ordinary earth. So imagine that, the whole thing being mountain. It's heavy. So those people, those demigods and demons, they could not carry. They could not just lift it and put it. And Lord came and with one hand, he just did it. And we read and we hear about this pastime in a couple of months and Damodar month. With just the tip of his finger, he lifts the whole Govardhan Hill. These are some Herculean tasks. Prabhupada talks about this in Nectar of Devotion. Krishna can perform. And he can empower his devotees also to perform. But those who do not have the faith, they take that as mythology. This is a very, very offensive thing. You're able to say the whole world is the cosmic manifestation. The sun is moving by his own orbit. The moon, the planets, there are other planets in the solar system. They're all moving by in their own orbits. And every time we hear the scientists say that even if there were to be a fraction of change in the orbital movement of any of these planets, the whole thing would be chaos. So everything is happening perfectly. When we say that everything is happening by perfectly, or according to that configuration, that so much time, so much distance, so much energy, and then the whole thing is within that, what they call as quantum mechanics, light, distance, and the time, energy. So this whole thing is happening, if that's the case, that everything is happening according to this configuration, this time, at this distance, in this direction, and even if something small were to disturb the whole thing, how come that the whole perfect arrangement is by chance? That's the question. Because by chance, we are saying that anything can happen at any time. We don't wake up by chance. We wake up deliberately. Nobody goes to any place by chance. I don't come by chance to America, or I don't come to Chicago by chance. We make deliberate decisions every point of our life. And those things that we may not understand, yes, there will be surprises in our day-to-day activities. The devotees take those as opportunities for purification or service, or both. The demons take those things as random events, or purposeless, or even for their own enjoyment. Like in the case of Hanuman, he was given the assignment of searching for Sita. And then he was going all the way to Lanka. And then while going to Lanka, he was tested so many different times. He was attacked by different demons. And then even in Lanka also, he saw so much opulence. I mean, it's gold everywhere. Lanka is Swarna Lanka. It's built of gold. Golden palace, golden everything, utensils, pots, cups, and then all the decorations, the beds, the furniture, everything is gold. That's what Ravana wanted. Everything was gold, and then there is huge palaces. And here you are, after 800 miles of leaping and traveling, must be very tired. The first thing would come to anybody's mind was, let me take some rest. Or, okay, I don't see Sita anywhere. Rather, I am put into different tests. Some lady comes and she entices me and all these different things. Maybe I'm destined to enjoy this. Maybe just let me take some rest. But that's not the attitude of a devotee. The attitude of a devotee as exhibited by Hanuman was, this is not what I came for. The test may come in our search for the ultimate perfection or perfection of our life. There may be different tests in different types of enticements, whatever it is, but it's not by chance, or it's not because, oh, maybe God wanted me to enjoy whatever it is. Or as so many people believe, that where we have been given all these opulence, because God must have wanted us to enjoy the different species of life, different animals. People make that as an excuse. God wanted us to enjoy. Eat this, eat that, drink this, drink that, be merry, because God wanted us to enjoy. This is all because we don't understand the real power of Krishna, a real, we have that tendency that keeping everything separate, as sectarian. Krishna consciousness is different than my life. People often ask, my material life and my speech, or say my material life and my spiritual life. There is nothing like material life and spiritual life separate. Everything is one life. We don't have. It's only depending on which lens we are seeing through. If you are seeing through some clear lens of devotion or spirituality, then everything is same. But if we have a different colorings to our lens, then we see here is devotional life and here is materialistic life. So, coming back again to this verse, on one hand there is omnipotence, and then there is this chance that often people think that everything happens by chance, which is not true. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. There has to be somebody who is behind. Even to drive the car cannot, nowadays they are designing, of course, these driverless cars, like they can. But even that also, you have to do something. You have to dictate, or you have to give the programming, whatever it is, at the beginning. There has to be somebody behind, in other words. And the whole thing of, I was hearing on one of the classes on the altar that is playing, that we say that the whole creation is there, is maintained and sustained, but we don't really want to, like when we say that the one person is powerful, one person is, anybody can influence others, like strong personality, and they may not by themselves do anything. I don't know where I heard this. I heard this recently. I'm hard time to remember whether I heard from Prabhupada. But in any case, point is that a person may be very influential, say a so-called spiritual leader, or a politician, or a musician. And because of their virtue of their fame and power, people get attracted. They have their own entourage. And that person, he doesn't have to do anything after some point. He just have to tell or dictate his assistants or entourage, okay, tomorrow book me a ticket for whatever that place is. Consider it is done. And his eating or his meals, his clothing, everything, people are there to put on the makeup, to put on the clothes, to drive him. But who is dictating all those? Who's saying, hey, you bring me this dress, not that dress? Who's saying that I eat this food, not that food? Who's saying I want to go this place, not that place? He is telling. He is dictating, and the entourage is just following his direction. So, similarly, Krishna is behind the whole cosmic manifestation. Maya adhyakshena prakrite sriyate sacharacharam. He is behind the whole cosmic manifestation. So, can he not dictate that, okay, Varuna, you do like this, and then happens? Okay, earth, you produce these minerals, these crops, so on and so forth, and so it happens. And then the three seasons or four seasons, whatever it is, the timing, the whole cosmic manifestation, the sun, the moon, all the planets, because somebody is dictating. Yet we feel like, oh, that cannot be true, but this is true. Because that is mythology. This is a very misconstrued notion, the whole mythology, myth. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. That myth is coming from that mithya. That means it's all false. How can it all be false? We are experiencing some pain. If somebody were to come and say that, hey Prabhu, it's all false, we'll be very mad at that person. You don't know what we are going through. But that's the feelings of the soul are real. Right now we are on a bodily platform, that's all a different thing, but it's not false. If somebody were to slap me and say that, you're not this body, it's all false, I didn't slap you. Unfortunately, I don't think I can take it as false or mithya, myth or myth, mythology. It's not mythology. Krishna carried the mountain, put it on the back of Garuda, and then the whole entourage of demons and demigods, they followed to the ocean. The demons who were seeing, they may say, oh, this is some random event. Because in our lives also, we see so many different things happen. But we may not really understand, or we may not really appreciate that this is Krishna acting. But we are seeing everyday miracles in our lives. We are seeing the omnipotence of Lord in our lives. Only thing is, we have to have clear vision, which can only be obtained from Shastra, by the scriptures. We get the ability to see the omnipotence along with other potences. That's the vision that we are lacking. And those who lack that vision, the demons specifically, they say that it's happening by chance. There is no God. It's offensive. But that's how the tendency is. So I would like to stop there. Let me see if I have, hopefully I have covered all the points. Any comments or questions, discussion?
Okay, I thought you had something.
No. Anything I have not covered, please feel free to cover.
I was wondering, thank you first for the class. I was wondering why it is mentioned here the demons and the devotees, but then in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned the demons also, but in another, it's in another kind of demons. Because he's explaining that people who won't believe this, not because they say that, as you explained, that this is by chance. So what is the, there is a difference, no, between when Prabhupada used the word demons, it seemed that he uses in different contexts.
Yes.
Because now he's referring to the, mainly to the scientific community.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes, yes. So Prabhupada classifies, or he talks about these two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods. So faithless and faithful. Those who have faith in Krishna are classified as demigods. Those who do not have faith in Krishna, they are classified as demons. So that faithless can be variety in itself. Like you said, scientists are good. Scientists are nice, as long as they can understand it. Okay, within my reason and logic, I'm trying to search for this, but there is a higher truth. If they accept that, that's fine. But most of the times, you find scientists, or unfortunately there are scientists who say that there is no God. That's where the problem is. And that's where their faithlessness comes out. So yeah, there are scientists, there are people who research without the conception of God, and they are classified as demons also. Is that what you are asking?
Yes. So how do we, in your experience, how do you explain that many of the pastimes of Krishna are, so how do you explain your faith in these pastimes, when, because for general people it's hard to understand.
Sure.
And for instance, Krishna was here and he was lifting the Govardhan here.
Sure, sure. So the process is given by acharyas. One of the, to appreciate the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord, there are certain, one has to be qualified also. As we chant our process with the chanting of the holy name, Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Leela. You heard this before. So, by properly chanting of the holy name, one gets the qualification to understand and appreciate the Rupa. And then the next qualification is to understand and appreciate the Gunas. And then the next qualification is to understand and appreciate the pastimes. So, if you want to move, that's fine, Prabhu, you're in. I see some. So, everything starts with the holy name, in other words. So, somehow one has to have the preliminary, basic, foundational understanding that chanting of the holy name has to start within the heart. And as one chants, one gets the deeper and deeper understanding, and one gets the deeper and deeper faith in the other characteristics of the same holy name or Krishna. These are characteristics of Krishna. Krishna and his holy name are non-different, and his holy name can be realized, or he can be realized in different phases as we chant. So how one can understand these pastimes? Pastimes, by hearing them, one thing is one has to hear from a pure devotee. That's one qualification, like that of Srila Prabhupada. If one reads these pastimes, I come from Indian background, and there are certain pastimes, not all of them, certain pastimes I have heard before. Within my family members have heard before. Do they all have the same regard for Krishna? Question mark. Who knows? Or do I have the same regard for Krishna simply by hearing those? Question mark. Who knows? Because you may not have heard these pastimes from the lips of a pure devotee. What happens is the devotion that one carries in for Krishna, that is what gets transferred when a person gets to hear from another devotee. It's not just the amazing, it is amazing to hear these pastimes, no doubt. But the extent of transformation of heart only takes place to the extent that person is empowered with the devotion to Krishna. Otherwise, it's difficult. So, on one hand, one has to practice chanting, one has to hear the messages, and one has to render some service to those that from whom he is receiving the messages. To that extent, one can realize these pastimes, or one can realize the potencies of Krishna. Nothing happens by chance, and nothing happens without empowerment. In order to understand Krishna's pastimes, Krishna has to empower us. Without the empowerment of Krishna, it is not possible. Because we know, right, in case of the whole Kauravas, they were also present right in front of Krishna. Arjuna could understand the message of Krishna as spoken in Bhagavad Gita. He didn't speak in a very, like in his ear or something. Everybody is welcome to hear the message. But how many people took the message of Bhagavad Gita? The whole army of Kauravas, so many Akshohinis, they were still there. I heard it's 11 Akshohini, like hundreds and thousands of army. None of them became devotees. So something is lacking. And because they didn't have the attitude. So in one word, it is also the attitude that one has to have. If one, even after hearing these pastimes, has the attitude of challenging Krishna, then one cannot realize these pastimes, the nature of these pastimes. One has to have that submissive nature that Arjuna has. That sishyastheham tvam swadhimam prapannam. So he accepted him as his spiritual master, his guru. Then he was able to understand. It's not that he was not before, but again, by Krishna's intervention, the whole thing was orchestrated. So in his case. So in our case, we have to have that attitude of submissiveness. So when we hear the pastimes, when we hear the messages of Krishna, to whatever extent we have that attitude of surrendering to Krishna, to that extent, he will facilitate. To the extent that we want to still challenge, he says, okay, go on. Any other comments?
You shared in the class the difference between the demons and devotees being that the devotees sees Krishna's hand in everything. I was wondering, we also know from the Nectar of Devotion how Krishna is not easily purchased, because once he is purchased by a devotee, then he becomes the devotees. So for someone who's practicing in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, when Krishna says being purchased, he says that one needs only by pure devotional service is he purchased. So for a person who's practicing in the beginning stages, what are some ways that we can see Krishna's reciprocation? Because he doesn't reveal his full personality to someone who's not yet purified from all his anarthas like that.
Whether one is in beginning stages or advanced stages, Krishna's mercy is always there. Krishna's hand is always there. It is said, this example you may have heard, this I'm sure you heard, this like sitting or hiding under a rock, right? So for those who are not in advanced stages or as you stated, like in the beginning stages, or neophytes, it's because we may be hiding or they may be hiding under a rock. So for them to see the whole sunlight is difficult because they're hiding in the rock. But as soon as they come out of the rock, they can see the whole sunshine. It doesn't mean that when they are hiding under the rock, there was no sun. The sun was still there. Whether we realize it or not, that's a different thing. So it's, in other words, what I'm trying to say is that either for neophytes or advanced devotees, Krishna's presence is always there. Krishna's hand is always there. An advanced devotee can see the hand of Krishna, and a neophyte may not be able to see. So your question is how in beginning stages we can see the hand of Krishna in everything that we do. That's One of the ways is the devotees in our life, those who are bringing, are trying to bring Krishna to our life. You just said also in your question, or framing your question, that Krishna is purchased by the pure devotee. And they can do whatever they want. So, if the devotees are in our lives, whatever they're trying to do is basically whatever Krishna consciousness they have, that's what they're trying to give, or what they're trying to give Krishna to us. So in our lives, whatever is happening, we may not be so exalted, or we may not be so realized to see that, oh, this is Krishna orchestrating in this manner, that manner. But at least we can see in our day-to-day exchanges also, the devotee's presence. Very, very strong presence of devotees, especially in a community like this. And since you are in the setting where there is so much interaction with devotees on a day-to-day life, it's very easy. How are the devotees getting whatever they are giving to us? If you go and say that you are so merciful, Prabhu or Mataji, and thank you, and then I don't think any of those devotees say, yes, I'm very merciful, whatever I'm giving. They may say that it's mercy of Prabhupada or Krishna. And depending on the level of the devotee, it may be just vocal, but to a greater extent maybe also realization. Whether it is vocal or realization, that's the truth, that it is coming from Krishna. The mercy is Krishna's mercy that is coming into our lives through that medium of devotees. And one of the characteristics of devotees is devotees are more merciful than Krishna himself. We hear this. It's a very transcendental topic. How is it possible that Krishna is giving mercy, but how can the devotees be more merciful than Krishna's merciful nature? All that, it's very transcendental. But they are. Like Radharani's appearance is coming on a Friday. And we hear, like yesterday one devotee is saying, if you want to wash parts, do it this day. If you want to clean the room, do it this day. If you want to do anything, do it this day. Why? Because Radharani, she is most merciful devotees of Krishna. So whatever is in our lives, it's coming from the devotees' mercy. We may not have that higher realization of Krishna, and we may not be that advanced, but these devotees who we are able to exchange in day-to-day lives, we can see that I don't want to go into specifics, anything. We can say, if it is not for the kindness, if it is not for the magnanimity, if it is not for their well-being thoughts, or for us, where we would be? No chance. Yes, this verse is no chance. We have no chance. So we can see that hand of Krishna in the exchanges, or the ways we receive that mercy from the devotees every day. I'm sure there is a lot more to it, but whatever I can share. Thank you. You have anything, Prabhus? No? You have anything? No? Okay. He's always satisfied. Ashutosh. Easily pleased. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.